Good afternoon, everyone. It's Thursday, April 20th, and this is JFM's The Happenings. I'm Michael Chen here with Jordan Barrera and Farheen Sikander. We'll be talking to you all today about what is happening in the world. The weather outside is 7 degrees and rainy. Stay tuned because we have an exciting show coming up after a message from our sponsors.
Your child's graduation, your grandchild's birthday party, watching the Leafs lift the Stanley Cup. Being at these moments makes life worth living. Pedestrian deaths have been at the highest in Toronto in over a decade, with 9 out of 10 victims over the age of 55. So next time you cut through traffic, remember to ask, is this worth it? This message is brought to you by the City of Toronto.
Welcome back. Here's the 3 o'clock news. Kathleen Wynne has announced plans to help cool Toronto's blazing housing market. Specifically, she plans to implement a 15% foreign buyer tax as well as a tax on vacant homes. She will also expand rent control and consider using extra land for affordable housing. The average price of houses in the GTA rose to over $1.2 million last month, up more than 30% from the previous year. Toronto Police's LGBTQ network has rallied against the city's donation to the annual Pride Parade. They have said that it is unacceptable for the government to financially support an event that excludes police. Toronto Police Chief Mark Saunders said in February that his force would not be marching in the parade as the LGBTQ communities are divided on the issue of police presence. Canada Border Service Agency statistics have shown that illegal border crossings into Canada have continued to rise in March. According to the agency, nearly half of the more than 1,800 migrants who have snuck across the Canada-US border came in the last month alone. Public Security Minister Ralph Goodale said in a statement that these figures are relatively small and have not affected other aspects of the immigration system. Now to Farheen with sports.
Thanks, Michael. On to a series of ties, the Toronto Maple Leafs lost 5-4 to Washington Capitals in Game 4 last night at the Air Canada Centre. This was the second time the Capitals scored twice within 5 minutes. The series is now tied. Leafs coach Mike Babcock admits that they weren't at their best. He said, quote, "We weren't ready to play," unquote. The Leafs will be back in Washington tomorrow night for Game 5. And as for basketball, even the Raptors are in a tie. The Raptors will be facing the Milwaukee Bucks tonight at 8 at the BMO Harris Bradley Center. After a loss during Game 1, point guard Kyle Lowry gave the Raptors a 6-point lead against the Bucks in Game 2 on Tuesday night. On to international sports, here is yet another tie, but with a defeating price to pay. FC Barcelona has been eliminated out of the UEFA Champions League after their tie last night with Juventus during a home game. Key forwards Lionel Messi, Luis Suarez, and Neymar Jr. weren't able to lead their team to glory as they did back in 2015. And that's all from me. Now let's head over to Jordan for all the latest buzz and entertainment.
Thanks, Farheen. Bill O'Reilly will no longer be part of the Fox News lineup. After the discovery of multiple sexual assault allegations and attempts to cover them up, the network said on Wednesday O'Reilly will no longer be part of their lineup. The decision comes after news that O'Reilly paid 5 different women a total of $13 million to settle claims of harassment. This ends a relationship between Fox and O'Reilly that lasted for over 2 decades. O'Reilly will be replaced with Tucker Carlson, another Fox host who has recently replaced Megyn Kelly's show, The Kelly File. For the 5th time, People magazine has named Julia Roberts as the most beautiful woman. Roberts has claimed this title in 1991, 2000, 2005, and most recently before this year, 2010. The magazine's annual World's Most Beautiful edition will be available on the newsstands tomorrow. That's the news for today. Stay with us because coming up after the break, The Happenings will look more closely into Toronto's new budget, learn about a Big Brother Canada winner, and get close and personal with Syrian welcome dinner.
Lumud is inspirational, inclusive, educational. Lumud, a festival of learning, celebrating the rich diversity of Jewish culture and heritage, enriching the spirit, mind, and heart. So over 80 presenters, March 19th, at the St. Andrews Conference Club and Center, 150 King Street West. Tickets available at lemood.ca.
Toronto budget chief Gary Crawford's newly balanced budget has its share of critics. One of those critics is Ward 14's councillor Gord Perks, who worries that the budget will worsen Toronto's finances.
What do you think of the budget?
It's a deeply unfair budget, and it's worsens the financial health of the city of Toronto. The unfairness comes from the fact that there is a huge increase in many user fees, TTC fares, for example, and wealthy people who own high-end homes continue to pay the lowest property rates, property tax rates anywhere in Ontario. Services, particularly for affordable housing, childcare, recreation programs, and public transit are getting worse, and the waiting lists are getting longer. In terms of the financial and sustainability of the budget, we have used over $90 million of money that we're drawing out of our reserves that are supposed to be there when we're having a real rainy day. And right now, the city of Toronto is going through an economic boom. It's not a rainy day. We should be filling those reserves up, not draining them down. Mm-hmm. All of this because the mayor insists on protecting the lowest property tax rate anywhere in Ontario.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how do you feel about there was a CBC article, I think, where Crawford said that they could look into potentially cutting down on like bloated middle management. What do you think about that?
There are two things that are important to say. First, 2 years ago, the city commissioned an independent review of the size of our management. And there's a range that these consultants found in municipal governments of having one manager to every five employees to one manager for every eight employees. They found that the city of Toronto was at one manager to every 8.8 employees. So in other words, we have less management than all the comparables, than the range of comparable municipalities that was studied by the consultants. So the evidence is our management is thinner than what you would typically see in a government.
Mm-hmm.
Not bloated at all. Disappointing to me that the budget chief would willfully misrepresent the facts to the public. That's not how you get good government. The second comment I would make is this is the fourth time in a row where instead of announcing a targeted program to make a specific program more efficient, the mayor has just waved his hands and said he'll do something across the board. Every other one of those initiatives has failed to yield any kind of meaningful savings. This is just spin.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think Mayor John Tory is making these decisions? Like, what do you think?
I can't speculate on Mayor Tory's motives. You would have to ask him.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. And how do you feel about some of Crawford's, I think, later proposals where he said that they would invest into areas like student nutrition and stuff like that? Do you feel like that balances out some of your concerns?
No. What happened in this budget is to meet the arbitrary across-the-board cuts that the mayor announced, several city programs that had been approved by council were facing cuts. What the budget chief did yesterday was put money back in to meet those already mandated council goals. So they're acting as if the budget is better, but actually what happened is they said, oh, we're going to make it worse, and then changed their mind in a few areas. In the areas announced yesterday, almost everything they announced was just keeping existing council policy in place. It's a very cynical way of appearing to be improving things when actually you're keeping them the same.
Okay. And I think that pretty much covers what I wanted to get your comment on. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No, I think that covers it.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for taking the time to speak to me.
You're quite welcome. Bye now.
Bye.
That was Ward 14's councillor Gord Perks, an outspoken critic of the city's new budget. He spoke with me on the phone. Next up, we have Farheen Sikander, who spoke to a volunteer at a Syrian welcome dinner.
When Justin Trudeau announced that Canada will be welcoming 25,000 Syrian refugees in 2015, many local citizens took great initiatives to welcome them. One of them was Syrian Welcome Dinners. Syrian Welcome Dinners allows local Torontonians to host dinners for Syrian refugees by signing up on their website. The citizens are asked to pay for any form of accommodations that they can, including transport. The initiative allows both sides to bond and get to know each other better. A few weeks ago, I talked to Melissa Jones, organizer of this initiative, and last night I interviewed one of her volunteers, Salam Khorshid, who happens to be a Syrian newcomer herself. Okay, so I wanted to know, how did you get involved?
Wood Green Community Service.
Right, and
they introduced me to Melissa to help her with the initiative.
Oh, okay. And what's your role at Syrian Welcome Dinner?
Well, for now, I'm trying to do main things like social media, because we're not that that viral on social media. So we're trying to create pages and trying to communicate with people through the social media. One more thing, I'm trying to reach out for Syrians to get involved in this initiative and to get benefits from it. And of course, the administrative work, like the database, and matching the Syrian newcomers with the Canadian hosts.
Yeah, and you, when we chatted, you told me that you hosted a dinner the day before we met. And yeah. How did that go?
Well, that went really, really good. It's awesome to get introduced and to meet Syrians who spent like lots of years here in Canada, like, for example, 10 years or more than 10 years. This is one thing, but it's another thing when you meet, like, Canadian citizens who were born here and live here, studied here, and everything. So it's kind of, let me put it this way, they speak the language of the country, like, like they know and understand the law, they know and understand everything about the way of life here, the way of thinking, the way the daily life. So it's really interesting. For example, like hosting a dinner is different from the way Syrians do and the way Canadians do. So it's a total like interesting new experience, and it was really, really good. We're trying to get to like continue communicating with them, seeing them, because they're really interested family. I went there with my brother, and we really had lots of fun there.
You yourself are a Syrian newcomer. How do you feel about the crisis that's happening right now in your country?
How what?
How do you feel about it?
How do I feel? It's like we stopped feeling like for so many years ago. So, this war is going nowhere, honestly. It's all about people are just paying their life.
Yeah.
People who are not involved in this war are losing their life. And they are the ones who are paying the price. It's not about who win and who lose. No, it's not about that. Mm-hmm. We all lost. We lost ourselves, we lost our families, we lost our homeland, we lost everything in this war. And I don't think anyone wants this war to continue. It's just enough. It's enough. We're now, we're entering our seventh year, so, and we're going nowhere. So it is really enough, I think, for all Syrians, no matter what are their political views or what they think.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone just wants this war to stop. Maybe we'll have the chance to go back there and to build something. Build a country for all Syrians, not for one kind or one mm-hmm. side or one party or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the questions that I had. Thank you so much for answering them.
You're welcome.
And that's all from me. Thank you to Melissa and Salam for allowing me to learn about Syrian's welcome dinner.
A couple weeks ago, I was able to interview John Pardee, winner of Big Brother Canada 2. He spoke about some of the things that he's found can make or break a good interview. So, is there any interviews that stood out in your mind as being really great, that you really enjoyed? And if so, what was it about those that stood out for you?
It was... The thing for me, I love when I'm getting interviewed, I love people who are knowledgeable about what they're interviewing. So yeah. I did a... His name is Rob Cisternino. He was on Survivor years and years ago. Does Rob has a podcast. So he's always after Big Brother doing interviews with the cast and that kind of thing. So he's very knowledgeable, does a whole season, live feeds, that kind of thing. So his interview stuck out in my head for sure because me and him could talk about everything that happened on that show. Like if I, even things I didn't even know. He's like, well, one, when you were over in this room and like Netta was down in this room, like she said this. I was like, she said that? Like I couldn't even believe it. So that's something I look for. Like there's definitely interviews I've done where guys are like, so how was that show? I was like, oh, come on.
Didn't even know
the show. Like just because they see like the followers on Twitter, they're like, let's interview this guy.
Yeah.
And me being out of the house was like, I'll take all of the interviews.
So if someone were to come up to you and they didn't even know the show that you were on, would you have, how did that go afterwards? Did you just completely shut them out? Did you try to like,
no, like it's not my style. Like I'll always entertain whoever wants to be entertained. You know what I mean? So if someone comes to me, I'll never shut down someone for an interview or something like that. But I guess like to certain personalities, it could get frustrating for sure. If you, that's with anyone doing any interview, if you are interviewing someone who it was on something or did something, you have no idea what they did, like was it Hidden Fences that girl said or whatever, which is like that kind of mix up, right? Like, but no, like it's, I love talking to people, love doing this kind of stuff, so can't complain with it.
So besides that, is there anything else that can sort of turn you off a little bit? Not to the point where you shut it out, but like something that they could do?
Turn me off? I'd say ignorance. Like straight ignorance. More so, if you're going to... There's some people who have interviewed people on my cast, never me, that they're more of interviewing them for a joke. Almost like, oh, you did reality TV? Like, we'll interview you, but, like, we'll poke fun or we'll say certain things that we know are going to piss you off. When someone tries to get a rise out of you, that's what I hate.
Okay.
Right?
And it's fairly obvious when they're trying to do that.
Oh, it's easy. Like, they'll literally be like, so, this moment, like, you must have been pissed. And I'm like... Well, yeah, I was pissed. Like, obviously, you've seen it. Like, you know what I mean?
Exactly. So some of the things, are there any, besides the one that you were mentioning before, is there any specific questions or specific, any just some statements that an interviewer has made that have made you say, oh, I like this guy. I want to keep talking to him. Is there anything that they've done in their style that's spoken to you?
Style-wise? I love... I guess interviews aren't really interviews. Like, you can sit, like we're doing right now. You can sit across the table, just shoot the shit, like, have a good time, you know what I mean? I hate when it's like, okay, I'm going to, like, here's the questions, here's your answers, let's do an interview. Like, that's the worst for me. I love sitting down, off cuff, you know what I mean? Whatever comes to your mind, that's the best interview.
Ever had one where it's just like they had the cue cards all set out
I've had times where it was, they Googled, say these guys didn't really watch a show, they Googled questions that now I've been asked. They asked the most basic. With someone who hasn't watched a show, they will ask the exact same questions. It'll be over and over and over. So you get the repeating questions. So you do 30 interviews, and by your 35th, you're like, let's switch it up a little bit. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you can tell when somebody clearly comes with something different.
Yeah, it's like original. I love, like, as much as I love doing interviews, I love to be entertained during my interviews, too.
Okay.
I love if someone can have a little bit of fun, like if someone can have a laugh, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Not someone who's like, so, on day 4, what happened here? And I'm like, that's such a boring question. You know what I mean?
You've done TV interviews as well.
TV as well.
So which do you like?
See, I don't think my looks are good enough for all these TV interviews, so I stick to the radio.
Well, you've been on TV the whole for as long as long.
But it was, see, I love both. Like, I don't think I have a preference in either. The only thing with TV is it's more, I guess, prep time, whether it's the makeup, the all that kind of stuff. The radio is, I can walk into my PJs and sit down and have a good time. But again, it's all about the interviewer as well. Yeah.
That was John Pardee, winner of Big Brother Canada 2. That's our show for today. Thank you everyone for joining us at JFM's The Happenings. I'm Jordan Barrera with Michael Chen and Farheen Sikander. Have a great afternoon, everyone.